Father, I truly do thank you for tonight, and I thank you, Father God, for your children who came out to sit at your table and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father, that your anointing is already here, crushing, destroying every demonic stronghold from hell. I thank you, Father God, that your healing power is here to heal your people. And Father, we just thank you that our ears are in tune to your voice tonight, and the enemy cannot steal the seed that's being planted. And I thank you for it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. There's so many things that God is trying to do in this day, in this hour, and the body of Christ, the majority of the body of Christ, is not ready for what this great move that God is getting ready to do. I'm going to teach tonight, Are You Ready and Are You Prepared? And I'm doing this because God said to me three different times now this week, Are you ready? Are you really ready for what I'm getting ready to do through you? He said, because you're going to be so busy. You think you're busy. Now you're going to be so busy, you're not going to be able to do the mundane things you now do at your house. So, you know, and I am ready. But, you know, am I ready? You know what I'm saying? Because he hasn't pulled no punches. He's just saying you're all going to be so busy that your whole life is going to change. You're not going to be the same. You just can't even do the same things. I'll just say tomorrow, you can't do tomorrow what you're doing today. Because when God does his joy, a glory drop, everything is going to change, and everything's going to be in the fast mode, and because God has to do a great work in a very short time. So let's go to this teaching tonight. I heard it again, Are you ready? Then I understood he was asking me, Are you prepared for immediate action or use? And I want each one of you to think what you're reading. Think about yourself, not your brother nor your sister, but yourself. Apply this to yourself only, all right? That's what ready means. Are you mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, and even physically prepared for what is coming? So when he says, Are you ready? It means, are you mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, and even physically prepared for what is coming? Now, don't shake your head, Jess, and say, oh, yeah, amen, glory, hallelujah, you know, until you really stop and think about this. You know, because we do that kind of junk, and we don't really get anything accomplished. Because, believe me, this past week when God asked, each time he asked me, I said, sure, God, I'm ready. But then I sat and thought, am I really ready? Look what I've got going on right now. Am I really ready? If he was to call me right this second, would I be ready to go? And I want each one of you to think that too. Right now I have my bedroom, my study tore apart. So could I live for the next 10 years in that mess? You see what I'm saying? Luke 1:17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now this scripture is speaking of John the Baptist's ministry as a forerunner of Jesus. Let's read that again. And John shall go before him in the spirit, before Jesus in the spirit, and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, in other words, preparing them to... All right, I'll finish reading that. This scripture was speaking of John the Baptist's ministry as a forerunner of Jesus, getting people ready to receive the ministry of Jesus. In other words, preparing them to be in a mental, emotional, and spiritual disposition so that when Jesus came in his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit, the people could be benefited by it instead of overwhelmed or destroyed by it. All right. God has, you know, God told me when I first opened a church, we are the second John the Baptist, preparing the second way for the coming of Jesus Christ. And this is what God's been trying to do for the church for quite a few years now, is prepare the church for what he's about ready to do. Now, did you get prepared and are you ready or not? John's ministry was a baptism of repentance from sin. And this is what God has been using his church to preach. Change your way of thinking, of speaking, of living. Put away your sinful life. And this is what John the Baptist preached. His ministry was a baptism of repentance from sin. Change your way of thinking. Isn't that what God's been trying to get us to do? The way you're speaking, he's been telling us to watch your words, right? Of living, he's telling us we have to live holy, righteous lives. Put away your sinful lives. He's saying die out to your flesh. John the Baptist says, I'm baptizing you in water unto repentance to get you ready, to get you prepared for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And this is what God's been trying to do for the church now for 37 years. I counted it up, and he's been trying to get the church ready for the baptism of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit and fire. And again, the Holy Spirit said to me, are you ready? He said John's ministry was to get a people ready and prepared. Why? So they could cooperate and participate with Jesus' ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, God said, are you ready? God said, I'm not speaking about getting ready for my return, because he's been talking to me about that, and that's what I thought he was talking about, but that isn't what he's talking about. This message is to my people that are already saved and prepared for my coming. You're supposed to be already saved and prepared for his second coming. The body of Christ has been in a place of barrenness for quite some time now. You know, the Holy Spirit hasn't been doing anything, and we aren't seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. It has been a time of barrenness. In this hour, we need to have a sense of expectancy about us. We need to be expecting God to move at any given second. And God is asking, are you ready? And you're asking, ready for what? Are you ready for what God has planned for you? Each one of you need to think, what has God told me he's going to use me to do? So when he's saying, are you ready? You're saying, ready for what? Are you ready for what God has planned for you? Are you ready for your motorcycle ministry? Are you ready for a deeper street ministry? You see, this is what God is asking us. Are you prepared? Prepared for what? For the great work about to be set before you. Didn't God tell you, Brother Allen, that suddenly your ministry was going to bust wide open? Isn't that what he said? But are you really ready for that suddenly? You think you are. You say that you are, but are you really? See, I want you to think about this like God had me think about this. All right, prepared for what? Prepared for the great work about to be set before you. Examine the barrenness you have been carrying around. Have you considered it maybe a part of God's plan? I've considered that, and I know it has been. For myself, and you have to think about yourself, is the barrenness. In other words, nothing's happening. You're just going to church every service, you know, and you're just sitting there, and God's giving you all these wonderful prophetic words, and nothing's happening. Do you think that it's God preparing you for the great and mighty works he's told you you're going to do? You know, we have to be patient. We have to be obedient. You know, you people make me a little bit upset, because I've been waiting about 25 years for this great glory drop, and I haven't seen it yet. And y'all fuss because, you know, he doesn't put you on your motorcycle overnight. Are you listening here? All right, God is preparing his people. He is asking, are you ready? Are you prepared? Or does he have to take you through the furnace once again? A while back, God spoke to us and said, ready or not, here I come. Remember when he said that? But see, he's forewarning us tonight, guys. He's saying, are you ready? Because he really is going to come when you least expect him to. God is reminding us that we must be expectant if we are to deliver what he has set before us. Are you listening? God is reminding us that we must be expectant if we are to deliver what he has set for us. You have to be expecting God to set you in your ministry in a blink of an eye. Because this is what God told me one day. He said, daughter, all I need to do is blink my eye and everything's going to line up. We've been waiting for a new church building for how long? God's been saying, it's there, it's there, it's already paid for, it's there. And every place I go, he says, is this it? And it's not it. You know, so don't tell me that you're tired of sitting around waiting. Come on. In God's timing, but right now, I know, because he said this to me 3 times this week, I know he's getting ready. And he wants us prepared. He doesn't want us to say, wait, I got to do this, I got to do that. No, he's saying, are you ready? Are you prepared right now? Because he's forewarning us. Barrenness is not new. You can read about it all through the Bible. Consider the biblical characters that were besieged with physical and spiritual barrenness. It came to a point where they were very desperate. See, we aren't desperate enough yet for a ministry is our whole problem. And I'll explain why in a little bit. But let's take a look at their stories of deliverance. In Genesis 11:30 says, "But Sarai was barren, she had no child." In Genesis 35:44, "When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." We're talking about barrenness now. In Judges 13:2, "Then one day the angel of the Lord appeared to the wife of Manoah of the tribe of Dan, who lived in the city of Zorah. She had no children, but the angel said to her, 'Even though you have been barren so long, you will soon conceive and have a son.'" 1 Samuel 1:20 says, "In the process of time, the entire family was up early the next morning and went to the tabernacle to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah, and when Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her petition." In the process of time, you know, it didn't happen right away, but in a process of time, a baby boy was born to her. She named him Samuel, meaning asked of God, because as she said, "I asked the Lord for him." Some of you have birthed things that, you have birthed things that you really don't, you wish you wouldn't have birthed. You asked for it, and you got it, and now you don't like it. Amen? Come on. And I'm hearing God say, "You're just going to ride this wave out. That's your wave. You asked and you received." Luke 1:7, "But they had no children, for Elizabeth was barren, and now they were both very old." And I just want to point out, barrenness has always been around. Do not be discouraged, but be expectant and hopeful for what God is doing. There's too much discouragement in the body of Christ right now, and God has been bombarding us with, "Don't quit, hold on, don't grow weary in well doing," over and over and over again. But that went boop, right over top of your head, because there's a lot of discouragement in the body of Christ. A lot of people are leaving churches. And don't ask them where they're going, because they're not going to another church because of discouragement. And God has always totally and completely encouraged us to keep moving. Always. Just like when he told me to tell you all the glory was coming. How many years ago now, Brother Chris? You know, and he told me right in the next breath, "And don't grow weary in telling them that." So that meant I'm not bringing it right now, but I want you to start telling them right now so they can be expectant, so they can be ready when it comes. But God said, "I can't do the glory drop because you're still in sin. And if I drop the glory on you, it would kill you." But you're saying, "I want to carry the glory. I want to carry the glory." Well, you can't carry the glory with sin still in your life. You aren't going anywhere but down under the ground. If you do, it's going to kill you according to God. Amen. I'm not saying you're going to hell, because if he dropped the glory in some people right now, they would die. So be careful what you ask for. You need to have a sense of expectancy. God wants you ready. Now, these women were described as being barren that we just read about, yet God had not forgotten their prayers. You hear me, guys and women. God has not forgotten our prayers. It was his timing. He had shut their womb so he could open them at his perfect time. "I want a new ministry. I'm going to go out there and I'm just going to tear the devil's camp down." Well, you go ahead all on your own and you do that, because your ministry is not going to make it. It's going to fall. You have to go when God tells you to go, or it's not going to make it. You can do all the things you want to do in your flesh, and it might look good, but if you watch it, it's not prospering. All right. Sarai had her name changed to Sarah. She was to become a princess, the mother of many nations. Rachel would have sons. The sons of Rachel were Joseph, which means he increases, and Benjamin. They would go on to become he increases and sons of the right hand. They were integral parts of God's plan for the Hebrew tribes becoming a mighty nation. But see, God waited for the perfect timing for her to have these boys. How many of you, when you got born again, you said to God, "Oh, I wasted so many years of my life when I could have been out there, you know, working for you." I said that to God. God said, "But that wasn't my timing. I called you from your mother's womb, but it was now that I wanted to start using you. And he, and between the time I was born and the time he called me, he was training me and he was grooming me for what he wanted me to do. So, and I said, I've wasted so much of my time. He said, your time is never wasted. Are you listening? So your time from the time God calls you, all that in-between time until God uses you, it's not wasted time. God is grooming you and getting you ready so that you'll do a perfect works for him. You haven't wasted nothing. Samuel was born to Hannah. He was to become a great leader in a time of great national transition. See, he had to be born at a certain time. He was the only character to serve God as prophet, priest, and national leader. Not a word he spoke fell to the ground. Isn't that awesome? Not a word that Samuel spoke fell to the ground. Everything came to pass. And finally, we come to Elizabeth. She gave birth to John, whom Jesus declared in Matthew 11:11, truly of all men ever born, none shines more brightly than John the Baptist, and yet even the lesser lights in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than he is. God told us, 2 years ago now, that it, now was a time for the first to be last and last to be first. So people who were, you know, out there in the know were now not going to be known, and he was going to bring the unknown to the forefront. Maybe you're an unknown. And maybe now is the time that God is ready to put you forward to do your work that he wants you to do. But are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you living a holy, righteous life? You cannot be in sin and have God use you. I don't care what you say. I don't care what some false prophet tells you. You have to be living a holy, righteous life. The Word of God says, be ye holy as I am holy. And the world has twisted the Bible to the place where they really think that they're right and the Bible's wrong. And you need to get yourself. So if you want to be used by God and you're in sin, forget it. Unless you get out of sin, God's not going to use you. It's just that simple. If you don't believe that, take it to God and let God speak to you and not your own self. Let him tell you the truth of where you're really at. All right, God had not forgotten these women, and he has not forgotten you. God has plans for you. The barrenness you have right now will soon become a great delivery. Are y'all listening? You have been in a birthing process. This birthing process has dreams and spiritual children that God has planted within you, and so do not be discouraged. This birthing process has dreams and spiritual children that God has planted within you. Do not be discouraged. Do not give up. God is saying, are you ready? You need to have a sense of expectancy. You're going to hear this all through this tonight. Are you ready and are you expecting? You know, you need to be ready every day. I get up now every time I get out of bed. I say, God, I'm ready. And I'm expecting you to move today. I can hire somebody to come in and clean my house. Amen. As I go out on the road for you. I'm ready. I don't have anything holding me back. Are you understanding this? You have to let God know that you're ready. You have to let God know that you're expecting him to use you that day. And what he said, once he starts using you, he's never going to stop. All right. Question, what is it you feel you have lost? You need to sit with God and allow his presence to replenish your lack. You need to draw closer to God. He is available. If you think you've lost something along the road, you know, from beginning to now, then sit before God and ask him. I do that. God, is there something that I have done that's not right, you know, that I need to correct? I ask him that all the time because I don't want to walk around here deceived. Do you? I don't like a liar, but I do like the truth. And I want God to be truthful to me at all times at where I'm at in my walk with him. Question. What is it that causes you to feel distant from God? Is it the lies of the accuser? God is the truth. God is the Father of all things. God is a seeker of those who call on him. In your weakness and lack, God can provide. God has created all of us with a need to know him. In Christ we lack nothing. He is the bread which sustains all life and the water that cleanses all impurity. And I said up there that in your weakness and lack, God can provide. You know, when something hits you right smack dab in the face and you fall to your knees and you say, God, I can't go on. God can provide. He always provides a way. Always, always, always. I want you to always remember that it doesn't matter how hard the enemy slaps you in the face, God is able to pick you back up again. And God's able to move you on because we serve a Father who truly, sincerely, deeply loves us. Just where we're at. Just where we're at. Mary Catherine Baxter wrote her in her book when she went to hell, how Jesus every day walks the corridors of hell weeping over those who are down there and they didn't need to be there. They just did not need to be there. And he still weeps over them, knowing what a wasted life they had when he had nothing but goodness for them. Don't you be one of those that waste your life. So are you ready? Is that where I'm at? Are you expectant? God is calling you. God is truly calling this church tonight. He's saying, I'm ready to use you. Are you ready to be used? He is a quiet voice who leads you into situations so his ways can be demonstrated. He has been the storm which turned you back from trouble, redirecting your pathway so he can provide. So I said there, he has been the storm which turned you back from trouble, redirecting your pathway so he can provide for you. I think it's awesome. I think it's totally, completely, absolutely awesome how our Father provides for us. You know, when we think we have absolutely nothing, he pulls something out. You know, he's always there to provide. He makes a way where there seems like there is no way. If you're following him with all your heart. Come on, this halfway commitment to God is not working. It just isn't. It just isn't. God has not left us nor forsaken us. Will you please get that in your little pea brain? No, get it in your spirit, man. Bypass this thing up here. Get it in your spirit, man. God has not left you nor has he forsaken you. He is right there with you. He's right there waiting for you to say, repent and return back to him if you've done something wrong. And if you haven't done anything wrong and you're in a valley, then he's right there with you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. He always tells me, I'm walking in the valley with you and I'm holding your hand. And we're walking this thing through together. See, we get out there boohoo and carry on thinking we're out in there all by ourselves, but we're not. God is holding our hand and walking us through that valley. And this is where the body of Christ has taken our eyes off of Jesus and we put them on our circumstances. And God preached and preached and preached. I was blue in the face preaching that. And see, and because we put our eyes on the circumstances, we lost out with God. Are you listening? Now let's get our eyes back on God and off of our circumstances. I told you the other night, God said to me, your body is lying to you. Trust me, what I told you, your body is lying to you. So I have to take my eyes off of circumstances and I have to keep my eyes on God and his promises. Are you listening here? And the devil's going to come at you and taunt you day in and day out. Try to make you get your eyes off of God and back on your circumstances. Keep your eyes on God. No matter what the situation. God has not left us nor forsaken us. God seeks our welfare and provision. In Christ lies all creativity and newness. Who has stolen your expectancy? You know, when Brother Larry died, he thought he had me fixed and he did all right. I didn't get nothing because he didn't do the paperwork. And so I ended up with absolutely positively nothing, fighting the creditors trying to make me pay his bills. But my reply was, my God will provide. He is my provision. And I know Larry would never wanted me to go through what I'm going through, but this is the way it happened. But my God will provide. I don't need, you know, the airbase's money. I don't need insurance policies. And, you know, he had a big insurance policy, but he had no, beneficiary on it. So when I called him and I told him he passed away and they said, well, he has no beneficiary. Here you are. So I'm his wife. They said, well, you send me his death certificate and you send me your marriage license and then we'll send you the money. I said, is it a big policy? They said, yes, it is. And I waited 2 weeks and didn't hear from him, so I called him again. They said, what policy? There is no policy. So what? There was no beneficiary, so they just dropped the policy. I was told by a friend of mine who came from Florida that I should go to the insurance commissioners. But see, I was counting on that, but my God is providing. Are you understanding this? I'm not under the ground. I'm on top, and I'm on top of the devil's head, and I don't let circumstances take me out. Is your God your provider, or is he not? Is your God your provider, or is he not? I want you to really think about this tonight. You need to understand who really provides for you. My granddaughter wanted me to give her money for cigarettes. I said, I have absolutely no money on me whatsoever. I'm totally, completely broke. And we were in town going to the bank, and the boy said, can we please get a drink? I said, I have no money. I'm broke. So they said, look in your pocketbook. So I got I had two $5 bills stuck away somewhere in my pocketbook. And my granddaughter said, I can't believe how God does this. Every time you say you have nothing, you always find something. You know, my God always provides. So they got their drink. Are you understanding this? You know, we moan and we groan and we carry on, and I'm not upset. I have nothing, but my God provides. He makes a way in the wilderness. Right now, the income tax people are holding up my check. We don't know who to make it out to. We only need one person. You have one person. It's Barbara. And every time I call, we'll get this out in the mail right away. And you know, I filed them in March right after Larry died. I still don't have my returns. I need my returns, but my God is taking care of it. And my daughter said, aren't you upset? I said, no. Why do I have to get upset? I'm not supposed to be in stress anyhow. You know, and that isn't going to do me any good. Do you understand this? We just need to really be honest with ourselves and don't just say it. My God is my provider, and he is making a way. All right? I hope you're getting hold of this tonight, because if you don't believe that God is your provider, then you're not going to make it in any area, in your walk with him at all. He will provide. Now, don't do something stupid and expect him to provide. But if you're doing everything right and the enemy's stealing, God does provide and God does take care. So I was so, take it to the courthouse. I took it to the courthouse. I said to God, I'm here in the courthouse. Here it is. Do something about it. And I said, I'm leaving. So I left. So it's he's the judge, right? Where am I at, Nancy? God is the light. God is the light that I'm just telling you all these things so you can understand that I could be home crying the blues. I could be like some of the other pastors, you know, if you'll just sow a seed, you know. But God is my provider. And I want you all to understand this. Get it in your spirit. You know, the devil's going to come at you in every way he can. I know God's getting ready to really bust this church wide open, because the devil's come at me in every way he can think of. And I'm standing my ground. Are you standing your ground? You know, because if, you know, you all have a ministry, and God's going to set you out there in that ministry, because he's going to bring all these new people in. And you guys are going to have to start ministering to these people. You're going to have to go out there in the streets, the highways, and the byways and do the work God's called you forth to do. And I'm going to need new faces, because you'll all be out there doing your jobs. Does that worry me? Not one bit. Because God will provide. He always does. All right, God is a light that nurtures his children. He wants us to sit beneath his wings and allow him to shield us from the arrows and traps of the deceiver. Read that again. God is a light that nurtures his children. He wants us to sit beneath his wings and allow him to shield us from the arrows and traps of the deceiver. He has been delivering us out of this mess. Are you totally ready to be delivered out of your mess? You know, God keeps telling me, daughter, come sit in my laps and sit under my wings and let me protect you. That's why I said that. Are you prepared once you are delivered to be used by your Father to destroy the kingdom of darkness? Or are you going to sit and say, whew, I'm finally free? You don't even have the time to do that, because you have a works to do for the Father. Now, you know, some people, I can't think of his name, Jay Bartlett, God's just coming in and ripping out demons out of them people right and left, and them people are all ready to go and work for their Father. So, you know, you might be one that God does it to, just comes through here and rips them demons out of you, and he said, now go and do. And you don't have 2 years to be saying, come out, come out, come out, you know, because God's going to take them out in an instant of an eye. But are you going to be ready when they're out? Are you going to walk around and say, oh, I'm free. Oh, my, I'm free. And then just sit there and not do anything with God and get bound back up again. You get dumbfounded, and the church does get dumbfounded. You see what we're saying here? Just be ready for God to do the miracle that you need, and then just get ready to go where he wants you to go. Where I'm at, God is life. God is life. If we are going to be filled with expectancy, we need to truly learn of his ways. We need to experience the love he has for us. There is no fear for those who trust God. They will be like the three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 6, and they will just know he will deliver. All the songs that are out right now about fear, you know, good godly songs, and they're out there because the body of Christ is walking in fear. And God gave these songs to these musicians to sing them and encourage us to get out of fear. That's why they're out there. God does not ask us to jump through hoops for his attention. He just wants us to sit at his feet and feel the love he has for us. How many of you take time just to sit at his feet and shut your mouth and just feel him love on you? You know, some of you have to talk all the time. Just be quiet. God doesn't need to hear your chatter. He just wants you at his feet so he can love on you. All right, I said he just wants to sit at his feet and feel the love he has for us and wait for his day of deliverance from our barrenness. And I'm talking about barrenness as your ministry has not yet begun. All right. Are you ready? Are you prepared? God is ready for you to give birth. Are you ready to deliver? About the time I think you're all fine and Jim Daniels coming, you come with some dumb statement, you're bound up again. I say, dear Lord, are they ever going to be set free and stay set free? I mean, I do say that. Then we found out why. You have wounds in your soul, and that's why you can't say. Now, I taught you that. Played that tape. Now, you have to get yourself set free. All right? It's not my job to do that. My job is to do what I did, give you the information. The book of Acts was a New Testament church in her infancy. But before Jesus returns, we're going to see the church in her maturity. God has said that. Full grown, in her full glory, in her full power. There is no way God is going to let our last chapter be less than our first chapter. Because he keeps telling me, don't want what you used to have. That was good. But what I have for you is so much greater than what you left behind. You know, and I wanted the signs, wanted the miracle we used to have. But he said, what I'm taking you into is so much greater. So guys, forget about what you used to have, how God used to use you, because what he's going to do is so much greater than what you could ever. He's told me you can't even fathom what I'm doing, going to do through you. So I don't care what you say sitting here. You cannot even imagine how God is going to use you. You can't, because you're not God. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. He told us that, remember? He saved the best for the last. Are you ready? Are you ready for persecution? Because with this glory drop comes persecution. We are at the most pivotal times in history. We are on the brink of the greatest and the worst events that have ever hit planet Earth. Are you ready? We all know that that's going on. Are you ready? When you are prepared, equipped, ready, then you won't fear what's coming. When you are prepared, equipped, ready, then you won't fear what's coming. In other words, you won't care what's coming down the road. You will know that you know that God is in control and he has you in his arms and you have nothing to fear. Because God is just. Noah heard the voice of God and he prepared an ark to the saving of his family. Joseph was sent by God to Egypt to prepare for the 7-year famine that covered the earth. You see this? To prepare means to make ready in advance, to plan for, to take steps ahead of time, to make ready in case. So are y'all making plans for this great glory drop? Are y'all making plans for the fact that your life is going to be turned upside down and that nothing's going to be the same? You might not have your jobs. You might not have this. You might not be able to do that. You know, are you ready for whatever this topsy, I'm hearing God say, the topsy-turvy world that you're going to be thrown into? Because he's saying you're not quite ready, even though you think you're ready. So after, when you go home tonight, I want you to say, God, if I'm not ready, show me where I'm not ready. And then get yourself ready. The fact is there is a major shaking coming to the United States of America and the world. And it is. It's going to blow your mind right out of you. Hebrews 12:26 says, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And God's been shaking the church for quite some time, but now he's shaken all of America. You see all the terrible things that are happening in America. God said, I told you that the darkness in the world would be the backdrop for the manifestation of my glory. And I thought that was neat. Isn't that what he told us? Ready. Are you ready for prayer to be outlawed? No one can make it illegal to pray. God reminds us of Daniel and when it was against the law to pray, but Daniel prayed anyway and he was thrown into a lion's den. And this is coming to America. And then he said for ministry to be outlawed. Example, Paul and Silas, they were thrown in jail for delivering a woman from demon possession. Be prepared for the persecution, saints. You might not want to be used by God if you have to go through all this. Are you ready for owning a Bible to be outlawed? It's coming to America. It's already illegal in many parts of the world to own a Bible. And then he said, are you ready? Are you ready for the greatest revival that has ever hit planet Earth? This is going to be the revival of all revivals. Are you truly ready for this last day revival? He said that this last day revival is going to embrace everything in full measure that has been in former revivals in limited measure. This is going to be a revival like we've never seen. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine, for the light, thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. How many years ago did God give us that scripture? And he said, that was us, and that's where we're at. So, and God's been telling me for all this time that the glory is already here in the church. It's just not in its fullness. But now he's saying to me, are you ready for the fullness to come? Because I've been praying, and I've been begging, I've been crying. Because I know that some of you are never going to be changed unless the glory drops on you. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. Because God has done everything he possibly can to get you free. And you aren't free. But when that glory hits you, you'll be free. It will change you inside out, and you'll never, ever be the same. And so that's why I cry out to God, God, we really need your glory. For years I've been saying, God, the word is not doing it. The word is just, even though it has power and authority, the word is not changing the people. We need your glory drop, and we do. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. It doesn't matter how dark it gets or how evil or wicked and perverse this world gets. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rise to the top. And when God talks about the church, he always says to me, the true church. Not this make-believe church, not this sinning church, but the true church, those who are walking in righteousness and in holiness. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Well, I hear some Christians say that. I look and I say, you don't really believe that because I don't see you living that life. If you're going to say that, then live it, right? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. How many of you, when the devil is really dancing all over your head, you scream that at the devil? Greater is he that's in me than you, devil. Greater is he, and you can't take me out. We have to fight. We have to fight. God is not, you know, God's with us, but we have to do our part. We have to fight. Now, if God just kept smacking the devil on the head and, you know, and we never had to fight, we'd walk around like the worst people in the world, wouldn't we? Spoiled rich kids, you know, and we'd be arrogant and everything else. Just like Noah's Ark, the higher the floodwaters rose, the higher it lifted the Ark, and the Ark rode on top of it all. The church is not leaving here like a whipped dog with her tail between her legs, sneaking off in the middle of the night while everybody is sleeping. Just like Israel coming out of Egypt, she left with a high hand. Didn't they? When we leave, we're going out in a blaze of glory, guys. I just can't wait. I'm just so excited about what God's getting ready to do. The true blood-washed, Holy Spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-anointed and empowered church of the living God is getting ready to stand up, and we're going to see the church in her full glory. I don't care what I've had to go through in all my life. It is worth it all for what we're headed into. It would be worth it all just to have my crown, right? But it's, you know, I'm so excited because I'm telling you what, the world has not seen anything yet. Just wait till God gives that glory drop. And, you know, you're going to be so excited you won't be able to stand yourself. Amen. There has been a shaking going on, and now the glory's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready and are you prepared? Habakkuk 2:14 says, a time will come when all the earth is filled as the waters fill the sea with an awareness of the glory of the Lord. Whoa, are you ready to go into that? I mean, are you really, really ready to go into that? I just read this morning where Australia is already having revival. They have been hungry and thirsty for quite some time now, and they have been prepared and ready, and now God has been dropping his glory. If you notice, a lot of the really wonderful prophetic words are coming out of Australia from the Australians, and powerful prophetic words. And now God has dropped his glory in Australia. And they're seeing great signs, wonders, and miracles. They're seeing healings like they've never seen before. They were ready because they were hungry. They were thirsty. And they were crying out to God. They were letting God change them. And when a prophetic word came forth, they believed that prophetic word. They just didn't say, oh, another word. They believed that word. They trusted the prophets. And because they trusted the prophets, then they themselves prospered. And now they're in God's glory now. Halfway thinking about moving to Australia. No. No, our work is right here in Delaware. Good old dead Delaware. That God is going to bring to life. Aren't you excited about that? If nothing else, I'm excited that God is going to use us to bring life into Delaware. Nobody wants to come and minister in Delaware. Absolutely no one. Because they say Delaware's dead and you can't raise those dead people. That's what the pastors tell me. But you just wait and see. You just wait and see. They're in for the shock of their life because as God is asking us, and I'm asking you tonight, are you ready? Are you truly ready for God to come in with his glory drop and set you free? And use you in your ministry. You flaggers, you just don't even know what you're even in for. You're going to be, it's going to be so wonderful. They won't be able to, they'll float in the air. Their glory's going to, I'm serious. God said they don't even know yet what's going to happen to them. And you guys that have a ministry, your ministry will blossom. But you have to be walking holy. You have to be walking in righteousness. And see, my job, God said you are 2 John the Baptist. So my job has always been to speak repentance. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to lower myself to your standard. You're going to have to come up to God's standard. And God says we have to live holy and righteous. And we can't compromise. You don't ever compromise now. Now's not the time to compromise. Now's the time to stand your ground and say, devil, I'm going on with God and I'm going to see that glory. You're not going to stop me. Won't you kick yourself all over town if you let the devil talk you out of, let's just say, sitting at home, and then the glory drops that day. I'm always afraid the glory's going to drop if I'm not there and I'm going to miss something. How about you? Are you ready for the glory drop? Are you really ready for God to send you into your ministry? Because he said it's going to be overnight. Suddenly your ministry is going to bust wide open. Are you really ready for that? I just don't want you saying yes. Because you think you are, because I've thought about this a lot, and I am ready, but I had to really do some rearranging on my little brain cells there to get myself totally and completely ready. Now, if you really think that you're ready for God to send you out in your ministry, if you come up here, God's going to touch you with a special anointing to get you truly ready. He's going to rid you of all the junk that's been keeping you bound. So if you want that, the altar's open. The glory of the Lord is going to fill the temple, whether you believe it or not. And you're going to minister to the lost and dying in the power and the glory of God. Nothing in your own strength, but in the power and the glory of God. It's time that you allow God to change your rearrange. Everything about you. Come on. The devil's had you long enough. Let's give ourselves to God tonight, totally and completely. And be ready. Be ready.